Okay, let's talk about spooky season. Let's talk about that. Keeping your sanity.
Spooky season.
Spooky season.
This eternal drama of our salvation playing out from the beginning of creation.
Our faith itself is inherently dramatic.
Dramatic.
And yet this is how our God loves.
He loves.
Well, welcome back to another week of
Dramatic Catholics.
Yes, we have again Father David. I was going to say Mr. Father David.
Wow, I would take that, but I appreciate being called Father David.
Father David. Yeah.
Father.
Yeah, we're going to.
Padre is also fine. Yeah. Hola a todos y todas.
Nice. I think this is our, fourth spooky season episode?
Yes.
I believe
this
is.
Yeah, we talked about
demons the first week.
The four last things.
Then we talked about the saints.
And then.
Yeah. So this is our fourth episode of our spooky season. So we have a lot to talk about.
We do.
Yeah, a lot.
Thanks for having me back. I know I went a little hard on the people of Michigan the last time I was on. I got a lot of heat on that.
Did you really?
I did.
Who came at you?
I'd like to just underline it and say, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
He said, I stand by what I said.
And I'll say it slowly so that all the people from Michigan can understand us.
He said, I say what I said.
No takes back.
No.
That's not my padre. He don't take back.
No, he doesn't.
He means what he says.
Have you seen those apology videos on YouTube?
No.
When like a YouTuber gets canceled and then they come out and then they bring like the tissues and then they pretend
crying.
I'm so sorry.
Like,
yeah.
Girl.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Never. You would never come out with an apology video?
Of course I would
for
if
Michigan?
I were wrong.
For Michigan?
Michigan.
Michigan. For Michigan, specifically.
To Michigan? No, I can't do that. I stand humbly before the Lord, but not before the Wolverines.
Oof.
Well.
On that spooky note.
Yeah.
Let's pray.
Let's do it.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of our lives and our calling. Mostly for the salvation you've offered us through Jesus, in Jesus, and with Jesus. We ask your blessing on our time together in this podcast. We ask that you bless all those who are listening to us, whatever they carry in their hearts or their minds, whatever is going on in their families or their lives right now. You love them. You will good things for them, for us. And we do ask that you bless us, protect us all through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to talk about tradition today, but I thought we would just start talking about like the traditions that we have in our families, like Esme and Padre. What are a couple traditions that you've had in your families?
Related to Halloween, like spooky stuff, or
any tradition? It could be spooky though. It could be Halloween.
Well, this one isn't Halloween. So as I've said time and again, I am from a very small town in rural Ohio.
What's the town called?
Clyde. Yes.
With the
C-L-Y-D-E. Mm. And a little homework assignment for everybody is to research Sherwood Anderson.
Oh.
Sherwood Anderson was one of the first, in my mind, greatest of the American realist writers from the early 20th century. He had a lot of impact on Hemingway and Faulkner.
Oh.
Those are pretty famous authors.
Mm-hmm.
Sherwood Anderson isn't as famous, but he was one of the first and had a lot of influence, and he's from Clyde. He wrote a very famous book called Winesburg, Ohio. Definitely recommend it. It's a series of short stories. It's considered a novella, but anyways, it's a great book about what it was like in early 20th century middle America, specifically Northwest Ohio. So Winesburg, Ohio, by Sherwood Anderson. It's from Clyde. Beautiful town, but a lot of farms. And on our farm, and ours was right next to my grandma and grandpa's farm, whenever there was a storm in the summertime, my grandma would get the blessed palm from behind a crucifix or behind a picture. Why do you laugh?
I'm just ready. For what you're gonna say.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, okay, first, let me ask, do you guys put palm branches, like what we get on Palm Sunday? I know a lot of people weave them into ramos, right? But what do you do with them afterwards?
Make into a cross.
You make them into a cross, and where do you put them?
In my room.
There you go.
In my room.
So you say them. We do too. I mean, a lot of folks in Northwest Ohio are German American, including our families. And I think it's a German custom, but we would take the palm branch, whether it was braided or woven or whatever, or it was just the branch itself, we would put it behind an image of Mary or the saints or a crucifix, anything really holy on the wall. And during the year, right before a storm, like as those dark blue clouds are rolling in over the farm, Grandma or my mom would take it off the wall and light it on fire. Now, you'd think that a dry palm branch would just like burn up quick, mm-hmm. like paper, because it's dry and it's essentially a piece of wood. But it actually smolders. It burns very slowly. It looks like incense, mm-hmm. and it has a very, very particular smell.
Does it smell good?
Depends. I don't want to say whether it smells like anything that you might. Let's just say it smells a lot like when I visited my friends at Ohio State. I don't know. It has a very particular, very kind of, I don't know, musty smell.
Stench.
It is, I think. But maybe some people like it.
Was that?
Well, that was it. I mean, we burned the palm, and anytime I hear it, like, or not hear it, anytime I smell that burning palm, I think like there must be a storm coming. You start to associate it.
Was it like monsoon season?
No, so that's the thing. I mean, it's a nice afternoon in Ohio, and then like you see on the kind of their horizon, there'll be these really dark blue clouds, and maybe you see some lightning with it, but you know it's coming towards you, and it's gonna bring lots of wind, and it could bring hail. And my hunch is that this tradition was from the olden days back in Germany, when you would pray that the Lord would protect your crops, because if it destroyed the wheat or the corn that you had planted, you're all in big trouble.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, we weren't depending on that for our livelihood, but, you know, back in the day, farmers would.
And so I
have a hunch that they just passed that down, the idea that you burn blessed palm instead of saying, I don't know, a special prayer to St. Michael or...
Yeah.
Because another thing was we'd also light a candle to St. Jude, mm-hmm. and that's a tradition, but I think that was particularly my grandma, because she loves St. Jude. Shout out to my grandma, who's probably listening.
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Hi, Grandma. That's your grandma, but I'm saying Grandma. Hey, Grandma.
How do you say it?
Grandma.
Grand?
Actually, I... Grandma?
Grandma.
Grandma. I don't pronounce the D.
Grandma. Yeah.
Grandma.
Okay.
Or abuelita.
Yeah. What about you, Esme?
Well, I don't... This question always, like, I don't think we had any family traditions, like, that we did. I mean, that would be one, like...
What would you do for your birthday? Do you have anything special that you do for your birthday?
No. Like, it's not sad, guys. It's not. Don't feel sorry for me. But it's just, like, we didn't have, like, any traditions yearly that we would do. I mean, like, for Christmas, we'd get together. We'd play, like, games and, like, you know, tamales and things like that. All the cousins would come. I don't know if you can say that a tradition.
Yeah. I think so.
We have lots of traditions in our families.
We do.
I mean, what about if you guys lost a tooth? Mm. What happened?
Ooh, my dad... Oh, that's one. See, you just need a... But my grandma, she would... When I would lose a tooth... So I used to live in North Carolina when this happened. She threw my tooth on top of the roof.
What?
Yeah, because...
What? Wait, she threw your tooth... onto the roof.
I don't know why she did it. She did that one time. But I woke up with money under my pillow the next day, so...
It worked.
Yeah.
Before you came in, me and Padre were talking about... Yes, I am Hispanic. Loud and proud.
Oh my gosh,
but,
what?
Yeah, but...
You're not Filipino?
I'm not Filipino. A lot of people think...
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people think of Filipino.
Huh. I thought she was Filipino for the longest, and it was like, what... 2 years ago, she was like, no, I'm Mexican.
Yeah,
I was like,
joking.
What? Yes. And my whole life was... My
Which
whole...
is awesome. I mean, all those are great ethnicities, great backgrounds.
Yeah, they're
backgrounds.
Great.
They
are.
I was yeah. shook. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, I am Hispanic. But there was a lot of things that in coming and working at this parish that I've never heard. Like, certain traditions, like, I've never heard of before. Like, and I think it's because, I mean, my mom is third generation. Mm-hmm. My dad is from Mexico, but I wouldn't say he's carried over a lot of, like, Mexican traditions. So I really grew up super Americanized. Yeah. So it was a lot of things I was like, I've never heard of that before.
Interesting. Yeah, a lot of
specific to here.
Specific? Well, I think
like traditions that are at St. John Vianney Parish.
Maybe not St. John Vianney, but like in the Hispanic culture. Yeah. So like in spirit of spooky season.
Yeah, there's a lot of traditions in the Mexican. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it would be good to talk about that one.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so I mean, brujería was one. Mm-mm. Well, one, and I'm not also bilingual, so I was like, what is that?
I could speak a little bit more now, but, and things like el ojo were foreign to me, and it was like, what is that? I don't know what that means.
So to our English speaking, brujeria is basically talking about witches.
Witchcraft.
And then el ojo is the eye.
So like the evil eye,
the evil eye,
which I later came to find out. I was like,
you said what?
And I think the last one was more of like, as a DRE, some people ask me specific questions of like, what is, you know, what is church teaching? What isn't church teaching? So someone had posed a really important question about Santa Muerte.
Yes, Santa Muerte. Yep. I was just about to bring that up. Mm-hmm. Which is, how would you say it, Padre? Like the...
Literally, I would even say a saint. Holy death.
Yeah, holy death. I wouldn't even put saint in front of it.
I see.
But yeah, La Santa Muerte, a lot of people have, like, in the Mexican culture, like, his statue.
Yeah.
And they offer up things for him. Like, I don't know, we'll get into it.
Yep.
But, yes, like, there's a lot of...
Yeah, there was a lot of that, so I was like,
So we want to go over what little T traditions are.
Nice.
And big T traditions.
Nice. Good way to say it.
Yeah.
Little T, meaning... tradition is not capitalized.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the big T tradition is capital T or capitalized tradition.
Yes.
Interesting.
There's a difference.
There is a difference.
Yeah. So we're going to break that down. So little T traditions would be like what we talked about.
Yeah. Right now, like cultural.
Yeah.
They're not.
It's very culture based.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say like even you could say like subjective, I guess. Like, you know, it varies from person to person. I might celebrate Christmas a certain way and you might celebrate Christmas a certain way. Yeah, it kind of just varies.
But doesn't make your way of celebrating wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what makes it a little T.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say it's like custom?
I would say it's like custom.
Yeah.
Like it's a custom to do, I don't know, at a wedding here, a lot of couples, if not the vast majority, have lassos.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a cultural thing because I didn't ever do a lasso.
That's a joint rosary, right?
It's like, is that the what that is?
Well, so, you know, a lasso or like a lasso, I guess you'd say it in a lot of places in the United States. That's what cowboys or cowgirls will use to wrangle the cattle. It's a lasso. It's a rope with a kind of a circular hook almost at the end.
Yeah.
Or a way to kind of capture the horns of the cattle. But in weddings, in a lot of Hispanic, but I think mostly Mexican-American weddings, they will actually put a rosary that has two kind of big bands or circles in it, and they'll put it around each of the bride and groom.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll say it's the vínculo, the link between, or the bond between these two.
Mm-hmm.
That's only, I've only seen that here. I didn't do that in Chile. I think only Mexican Americans in Ohio or Indiana would do that.
Mm.
And so it's a custom. I think it's a cool one. It's a visible symbol of their union because it goes on right after they've made their vows to each other. But it's not a universal custom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because
like not a church teaching.
And it's certainly not a church teaching.
That's a culture.
Yep.
Tradition. That's a good example. But it's not something that you need to have. That's not a big T tradition.
Well, so maybe we should start by explaining what is the capital T tradition. Mm-hmm. What does capitalized tradition mean in the context of our church?
Yeah, I would say capital T is like we get it from scripture. That would be like a capital T tradition, right?
Yeah.
Like tradition flows from scripture. So it's something that Jesus would have followed as well. Like Jesus followed tradition. I mean, Jesus was a Jewish man and he celebrated Passover. Tradition in that sense is more solidified. There is like a right or a trueness to it versus a little T.
I guess the way I think about it, it's like a little T. And if you're comparing it to a big T, it's like I just think of the church teachings, like the lassos, for example. Like you don't have to have that at your wedding because the church doesn't teach that you need to have lassos in your wedding.
I bet your abuelita does though.
And that's
because I have heard from some abuelitas. Yes, we are doing the lasso.
Yes.
And the Biblia, Rosario,
the whole thing,
iPad, puppies. It gets crazy. No, I'm joking.
No, puppies. Father, but you do bring up a good point because I'm Mexican myself. Like I'm very, I guess,
cultured.
I'm very cultured, yes, in my Mexican heritage. So I know I have family members that you mentioned. When you mentioned, like, I'm pretty sure your abuelita believes that. Yes. Like, but it's not because she, I guess I would say that she just doesn't know. You know, it wasn't taught to her.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't catechized in that way. But there is a lot of, like, people who think, well, yeah, this is a part of the church. And it's like sitting them down. It's like, no. Like, it's... It's not a church teaching, but it's a
How would you differentiate that? There are so many things that we can confuse, just like not just like being Hispanic, but I think, I mean, I'm in sure general. In general, in different cultures, especially growing up Catholic, you kind of, it's hard to separate the two things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I learned the context of my faith through my family.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I think it might be. Yeah, and I mean, frankly, in the United States, you brought up a good point earlier when you said that your dad had been Americanized. What does it mean to be American with a lot of our traditions? I mean, we joked about the tooth fairy, I guess, came to the roof for
I don't know.
North Carolina.
I was like five.
But a lot of times people will put a tooth under the pillow, and that's where they find the money.
I guess she works from the tooth fairy. She works in many ways.
But, if, you know, that's a specifically American thing, because in Chile they don't have the tooth fairy. They have ratón. Oh. So the tooth mouse, or rat, which I think is really freaky, and that would scare the heck out of me if I were a kid. But we're in America now, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Love this country, and you know, we have a lot of traditions that I think, because of their portrayal in movies and television, and now streaming, and you know, online social media, etc. We have a general national set of customs. Right, so we sing happy birthday, we blow out candles, we open up Christmas presents near or under a Christmas tree. It seems like wearing ugly sweaters at Christmas time has become a thing,
that
or a tradition.
Yes. Yeah.
Those are little T, but I think that the best way to understand that little T tradition versus the big one is just go to the heart of the question. So a lot of non-Catholics, but particularly Protestants, so these are the Lutherans and the Presbyterians and evangelicals, Pentecostals. One of the criticisms of the Catholic faith has been that we don't follow Scripture. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know that we follow Scripture, as you just said. We look to Jesus for everything. We look to Jesus for the origin of the sacraments. We look to Jesus to understand the doctrines of the church, morality. How do we understand the covenant with the Jewish people? And Jesus's salvation, how does that work? Well, we look to Jesus for all that, and we look to the sacred scripture to understand what Jesus did and what he taught. But over the last 2,000 years, since Jesus's life, death, and resurrection, the church has also remembered a lot of traditions that aren't in the scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what does the end of Mary's life on earth look like? It's not in the Bible.
It's not.
We were just talking about that the other day, actually.
What happened to Mary at the end of her life on earth?
Yeah, she was assumed into heaven.
Right.
We don't know how.
Yeah.
But we don't know how, but we know that she was not, she did not die and was buried. Mm-hmm. And like, you can find her bones somewhere. Mm-hmm. You can, for a lot of people, in cemeteries. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to see a certain saint, you can go to the cathedral. You may even have relics. Mm-hmm. There are no relics of Mary's body because she was assumed into heaven. But that's not in the Bible. So how do we know that happened?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's tradition. How do we know? Gosh, a lot of the apostolic, I don't want to say legends because that makes it sound like it was made up, but a lot of the stories about where the apostles ended up preaching, like St. Thomas went to India. How do we know that? Well, it's tradition, not in the scripture. We don't have a lot of archaeological evidence that points to it, but we've been teaching that, and it's been the understanding since the early days. So we also want to consider, what's the role of the family in passing on tradition? We know that, and this is getting really philosophical, which I know Delilah and Esmeralda love philosophy. Maybe not all of our listeners do.
Let me get my brain working.
I know.
Not all of our listeners do, but have patience with me on this one. We can learn anything through two sources, right? We have human reason, and that's the idea that if you were alone on a desert island and you grew up on that desert island, there's some things you can know just by using your brain.
Yeah.
If you have one coconut and another coconut, you now have two coconuts. That's just brain power, right? Or if you stay out in the sun all day, you're going to get sunburned. You learn that through experience and brain power. Mm-hmm. Nobody needs to teach you that. On the other hand, there's some things that can only be learned or taught by revelation. And revelation, we think of the book in the Bible, or we think of something coming from on high. But really, revelation is teaching. So when your teacher in, say, fifth grade taught you that the origin of the universe was in the Big Bang, my hunch is that that teacher had not calculated the source of stars and galaxies all the way back to the original, you know, event horizon and infinitesimally small molecule.
That's hard.
From which everything else exploded into being. I'm sure she or he read it or learned it himself or herself, and then passed it on. So revelation is that which we cannot know by purely human reason. It needs to be told to us, revealed to us. And, you know, the classic examples in our Catholic faith are human reason. We can know that there's one God.
Mm-hmm.
Because just by thinking and using human reason and logic, we can get back to the idea or understanding that all things came from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing comes from nothing. And so there has to be an unmoved mover. And we call that unmoved mover God. These are the five teachings for the existence of God by Thomas Aquinas. We're using our brain power for that. There's a lot of other teachings that we can only understand through revelation. We don't know by looking up at the stars and exploring the earth around us or using our human reason. We cannot know that God lives in a trinity of mm-hmm. persons. The Father begot the Son, and from the Father and the Son proceeds the Holy Spirit. We can't use human reason for that. But we were taught that by Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, I come from the Father, and I will send you the Holy Spirit. So we were told, it was revealed to us that God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's other things that get passed on generation upon generation upon generation. I believe that that's where the assumption
mm-hmm.
comes from. So it was defined as dogma, as a true doctrine of the church that we all believe and must hold in the 1950s by Pope Pius XII. Trying to find the origin in scripture, you're going to hit a dead end. But why for 2,000 years did it get passed on almost universally in the Catholic Church
right.
that Mary was mm-hmm. assumed into heaven? Well, it was tradition, right? Does that mean it didn't happen? No, it just means that we couldn't understand it by our human reason, but we could understand it if it was revealed to us. And mm-hmm. it was revealed to us not through scripture, but in fact through tradition, the passing on from many, many communities that this is true.
Yeah, to say, like, even part of tradition, like, we wouldn't have scripture had it not been for tradition as well. Like, we didn't have
Amen.
We didn't have the Bible always, like, so
yeah,
that was passed down orally. So, like, again, that's where tradition comes in. Like, mm-hmm. it's a story of our faith being passed down from generation to generation.
That's right.
Up until the point where somebody decided, or multiple people decided, to put it together through the aid of the Holy Spirit, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crucial to point that out. So if we understand our faith from human reason, from sacred scripture, which itself was passed on generation to generation from the eyewitnesses, from those first apostles and believers in Jesus, eventually written down, that became our scripture. Does that mean that they wrote everything down that happened? No.
No.
Because we know that Jesus ministered at least 3 years, but we don't have 3 years of, you know, 24/7 coverage of Jesus'
right,
ministry.
Right.
So there's no doubt things that Jesus did and said that did not get captured by the written scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Did things happen that I told by some, you know, segments of the Christian community and kind of embellished? There's a story, I think, in the Gospel of Thomas, which is not in the canonical scriptures. That means it was not approved by the early church to be in the Bible. But there's a story about, like, Jesus is getting bullied as a little kid, and he calls down a bear from the mountains, and the bear comes down because little Jesus is God. And that bear, like, eats the bullies, the kids that are making fun of Jesus.
What?
So there's a story that got passed down,
mm-hmm.
and it was in one specific community, and they put it in this scripture called the Gospel of Thomas. I think that's where it's from. But the rest of the church is like, little boy Jesus did not call down a bear from the mountains
yeah.
to maul and eat
wild
his, like, bullies or kids that are making fun of him. So
Jesus prayed for them.
Jesus,
of course he did.
Yeah,
of course he did.
Come on now.
We know 12-year-old Jesus is in the temple. He's yeah. teaching. That sounds like something Jesus would do.
Yeah.
And they had passed it down in enough communities that was in the scripture, and the church came to understand, yes, that really happened. Jesus was, as a 12-year-old, in his Father's house, mm-hmm. teaching the elders. Jesus was not calling down bears to avenge right. his bullying.
Right. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that proves that we can't just have scripture alone, which is what some of our other Christian brothers and sisters would say. But how would you respond to that Catholics added to the Bible, or that we took away from the Bible, things like that?
Well, interestingly, we didn't. It was many of those Protestant groups that did. They took out certain books
mm-hmm.
called the Catholic Books of the Bible. And it would be important to know, and we're not, you know, bagging on you, our Lutheran and Presbyterian friends out there.
Yeah, and we're asked because some of, like, our friends or people will ask, even, like, RE parents, or, like, why are there different Bibles?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, so I would say about the Protestant traditions, it's a complex story what happened in the Middle Ages that led to the Reformation. But many Christians, because we were all Catholic or Orthodox at that time, many Christians decided what the Roman Catholic leaders were teaching was not correct. They decided that on their own. Mm-hmm. And so they left our church. And in order to pass on their understanding of religion or faith, they had to change certain aspects of the teaching. And some of that was from the scripture, but some of that was also tradition. And it's kind of a funny thing when they say they take scripture literally. Mm-hmm. But Jesus says in the scripture, take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body.
Yes.
And then do this in memory of me. And Protestants will say, well, he didn't speak literally. We can't do that literally. Well, what do you mean? It's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So that's a case where Catholics are actually taking the Bible literally, mm-hmm, when Protestants aren't. There's other songs or meeting styles or ministry the Protestant churches do that are not found in the scripture, mm-hmm, but they have passed it down generation to generation, and so they follow tradition in that case. Yeah. And there's other things that we as Catholics do that are right out of the Bible, and so we are taking it scripture only in, mm-hmm, in some cases. So it gets really complicated and messy. To your question about why we have different versions of the Bible, I mean, the heart of the question goes back to what you had mentioned just a minute ago, Delilah. The Bible itself is not a book. It's a collection of books. Mm-hmm. And these are the writings of the prophets in the Old Testament. They're the hymns and spiritual songs of the people of Israel. Those are the Psalms, the Song of Songs. It's the story of the early patriarchs. So in Genesis and Numbers and Deuteronomy, there's laws. Those books were put in and what we call the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures. And then the early Christians, they would tell stories about Jesus and his miracles and the apostles. And those became the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as well as the Acts of the Apostles. And then the various letters from St. Paul and the communities that wrote under the name of St. Peter and St. Jude and St. John, St. James, and some of those didn't make it to the Protestant Bibles, so, mm-hmm, that's why you would have maybe a Catholic Bible versus a non-Catholic Bible. But the biggest difference in Bibles today, everybody, is the translation. How do you translate certain words? Because the New Testament was almost entirely written in Greek. Very few people, even in Greece, speak ancient Greek like those writers did. So somebody has to say, well, what does that mean in today's language? And obviously, if you're speaking English here in Arizona in 2023, you need somebody to take a look at those early languages, as well as the context, as well as the understanding of what the words might mean, and bring it up to today. So there's some Bibles that are very modern sounding. Mm-hmm. They call them the living Bibles. It's like the language is living, and, you know, it sounds kind of cheesy, I think. It's like, hey, bro, Jesus said, wow, what's up with you? Like, I don't know.
People made comments on some of our past podcasts, and he said, what do we think of Gen Z Bible stories? I wasn't 100% sure what that meant, but I want to say it's something like that, but in a video form.
Yes.
Right?
There's an app.
Oh.
Esmeralda, are you Gen Z?
I am Gen Z.
That's awesome.
But there's this app. It's literally called Bible. But I saw on TikTok.
It's called Bible.
It's called Bible. But I saw on TikTok there is a translation where it can be modified to how we Gen Z would speak today.
Oh.
So when Father was saying, like, hey, bro, Jesus said, that's literally a thing. Like, uh-huh. So it's modified for,
oh my goodness,
Gen Z to read.
Interesting.
To understand, I guess.
Well,
I don't know when they would do that.
Is
but
the King James Bible. And maybe I'll look it up here in a minute. We could put some of those together, like,
oh,
what
okay,
a passage would sound like in the different versions. I can look that up.
But you should download that one.
I actually have it.
The King James Bible, I mean, that's where you get a lot of, like, thou shalt not.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody says shalt. And nobody says thou.
Is shant a word?
Shant used to be a word.
Really?
I think, yeah. I think.
You maybe shan't.
You shall not.
You shan't, like, steal from your neighbor. But, like,
thou.
Why? So there's some that would say the King James Version of the Bible, mm-hmm, which was the first major Bible in English from the 1600s. Like, that's the unalterable word of God. Like, you cannot change any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why not? If nobody says thou shalt not anymore,
mm-hmm.
those folks who are making these apps and trying to, like, make it into Gen Z,
No,
you should use the language that people are talking now. And so there's different Bibles because of the different translations, trying to understand that somewhere between thou shalt not and hey bro are... You know, is the right way to...
Something nice and sweet in the middle.
Well, right. And I think that's where most Catholic Bibles, so to speak, are. That's where they land.
Mm.
They sound very clear, but also serious. You know, they're not... The sacred scripture is the word of God, so it's not supposed to be silly.
Mm.
It's also not supposed to be ancient and, like, unknowable.
Yeah.
Right? You're supposed to understand what the word of God is teaching you.
Yeah.
Here is from a verse that we... looked at a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the four last things. From the King James Bible, Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So right there we've got two words that sound really foreign to us. Unto and ye.
Ye. Ye ye.
Isn't that what Kanye West goes by now?
Is that what he does?
Yee.
Yee,
yee. Yay.
I don't
so
know.
So that sounds really, I mean, unto and ye and shall, that's the old version. But let's take a look here at a little bit more modern version here. Then the king will say to those on his left, go away from me. You will be punished. Go into the fire that burns forever that was prepared for the devil and his angels. So that sounds a whole lot more modern, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You will be punished. Ye cursed. No. So tradition, let's, I guess, underline what we're trying to say to everybody about how it's passed on. And so that requires a certain updating. Mm-hmm. Every generation is going to update to understand it in the current generation. Language, you know, over 600 years ago, the English that was spoken was so different from today that I don't think you'd be able to understand what somebody was trying to teach you.
Yeah.
Or what they would write. Right, if you try to read Beowulf or Chaucer.
Yeah, even like they have different versions now. Like I remember being in high school reading Shakespeare. They right. have one side is like his actual writing and the other side is a...
So does it make it wrong when we update something? No, but we have to be very careful because you don't always get the same meaning. For mm-hmm. instance, I don't remember the psalm, but there's one psalm that refers to the sons of God, meaning Israel, the followers of God.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a kind of a movement in the late 1990s to have inclusive language so that women didn't mm-hmm. feel excluded
mm-hmm.
by having this reference to sons. But as I understood it, after lots of study, people realized when they say the son, in that case, they also mean daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to figure out a way to include daughters. But the translation that they used to make everybody feel included was children of God, as opposed to son of God. Trouble with that is that child or children is a time of your life. It's not a condition, an identity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you are a daughter your whole life.
Yeah.
Whether you're 80 years old or 2 years old, you're a son. And, you know, whether you're 2 or 80. And you receive certain responsibilities, certain inheritance, certain privilege, certain love because you're a son or a daughter and not a child. We have 500 children at our school, but most families only have 2, 3, 4, 5 sons and daughters.
Yeah.
Right? And so that was a case where trying to update the language, trying to update the tradition actually could lead to error. It could lead to a misunderstanding of the teachings of the church or the writings of God.
Yeah, you always want to preserve it.
Or the word of God, I should say.
Yeah. So what would you say in talking about tradition, the difficulties of being Catholic and growing up Catholic and differentiating between little T, big T tradition, especially when it comes to like those things. Like, I mean, we're in the season of Halloween. So like Halloween is always, we touched on it last episode, but like, are we allowed to celebrate it? You know, what about brujeria? And like, what do we make of those different things that we associate with our faith, but would not be part of big T tradition? Yeah.
I don't know if you got that on the podcast. there's no easy answer. If there were, we could just go to a certain website and see, you know, you're not allowed to dress up as Harry Potter. you are allowed to dress up as Saint Nicholas. There's not. I've heard from some people that they do not want their children to dress up as anything but a saint, because that would be, in a way, sort of participating in a pagan custom of dressing up around Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos. You know, even in the English-speaking world, Halloween really comes from, as you've talked about, the eve of All Saints Day, All Hallowed Day, became All Hallowed Eve, Halloween. And it looks at death in the sense of, well, these saints have gone from their earthly discipleship now to heaven. Mm-hmm. We still pray for the dead around Halloween. 2 days later, in fact, on November 2nd is All Souls Day. We pray for them. Dressing up as a ghost, dressing up as a pirate, dressing up as a princess. I suppose this year Barbie is going to be a really big.
Barbie.
Maybe Oppenheimer will be a
Barbie
big costume.
Barbie and Ken.
I don't know. Ken, yeah. I will not be dressing up for Halloween this year.
You're not going to be Ken.
I'm not going to be Ken. I couldn't pull it off. My sweet tan. I was going to dye my hair blonde, but now I think I'm just going to stick with the frosted tips.
The frosted tips.
But I don't find any prohibition on dressing up around Halloween. So some Catholics would say it's wrong, you shouldn't do it. Others will say it's totally fine. I guess from my perspective, it should be the parents' decision what their kids dress up or don't dress up as. From the church's perspective, you have to keep Jesus Christ as the center of your life. His life, death, and resurrection have given you salvation. The first commandment is to love God, to not worship any false gods, to put God above everything in your life, and love your neighbor as yourself is number two. And so if you can do all that and dress up as Ken Barbie, okay. And, you know, eating candy on Halloween versus eating apples, I think all that would be little t tradition, right? Honoring the Lord and his saints by celebrating them on a certain day is big t tradition.
Yeah.
Nowhere in the scripture does it say we should, you know, honor those who have gone before us on a certain day. But we have for a long, long time. You know, remembering the martyrs for the faith goes all the way back to the first century. So 2,000 years we've been honoring and commemorating these followers of Jesus who have died on earth and now reign with Christ in heaven. So that's big T tradition. Brujería, the Ojo, Santa Muerte, all these traditions. I'll tell you, friends.
It's not it.
It's not. Do not play around with it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we do not believe in other gods. So Baal was the ancient demon. Moloch was the demon that they sacrificed babies to. There were cultures in the Middle East, today's Middle East, that taught that those were gods. They're not. There is only one God, the Lord our God. But that doesn't mean that you should play around with Baal worship or going after, you know, Ouija boards and Moloch. We worship God alone.
Yeah.
We follow what Jesus taught us. You cannot be hurt by brujería if you're following Jesus. Okay? What are some ways to follow Jesus and make sure you're avoiding brujería? One, the sacraments. Come to church. Come to confession. Anointing of the sick if you're sick. Two, have holy water in your house. Three, have crucifixes and image of the saints in your house. Four, certainly avoid any weird demon stuff. So, I mean, it's just not necessary to have.
I think even crystals, that's like
a thing right now, guys.
And
too.
Right now.
Sage.
Yeah, like.
Sage, really?
Yeah, like sage is like a thing.
To smell or to like.
Like to waft out evil.
Yeah.
Or I don't know.
Yeah, so but I mean, like, if you're doing that because you believe that like evil spirits are in your house, I mean, that's weird. If you're doing it to like have a special smell in your home, I mean, I guess that's no different from incense or Febreze.
Just get Febreze, guys. Come on. No, but...
Or just burn a palm.
Yes! You will have no lightning or thunderstorms.
But
you got a problem with the German-American culture?
No, of course not. Mm-hmm. No.
She said, don't cancel me.
I do got a problem. Not kidding. I do got a little problem, though, with like... The brujería, witchcraft, el ojo, you know, all those things, because At least what I see in my own family, so that's why I'm speaking on it, because, and again, not all families, but, you know, I'll go to someone's house and the crucifix will be there. You know, they'll have a whole spot for the Lord. It's beautiful, they have a Bible. Mm-hmm. And then it's like they're wearing the bracelets with the evil eye. And, you know, they have like the hand as a necklace. And, you know, these things, I'm just like, that doesn't make sense. Like, you can't put your trust into things. Like, but goes back to what you're saying, like, as a first commandment, like, we're only have one God and trust God. So that's right. Why, if people are asking, like, why is it a problem, though? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still Catholic. Hey, you're Catholic, but it's like we're called to put our trust into God solely.
Well, and sometimes it's a misunderstanding of the object or the reason for the object. I'll give you an example. I saw an article in the news the other day about El Chapo Guzman's son.
Is he still alive?
El Chapo Guzman is a narcotraficante. Mm-hmm. He's a very, very bad person. And he is in the United States Federal Penitentiary, I believe in Colorado.
He's still alive then.
But his son was in a jail in Mexico.
Yeah.
And very famously, a couple years ago, his cartel broke him out. Mm-hmm. And he's been on the run. Well, he's been arrested, I believe I read. And in his latest arrest, he is wearing a scapular. Mm-hmm. Now, he's ordered people to be killed. He has trafficked in humans, especially women and children. He is a very, very bad person, like his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's beyond the mercy of God. So we pray for all narcos, for anybody suffering from human trafficking. May the mercy of God protect and bless us all. At the same time, I would bet that Chapo's son is not wearing a scapular because he believes that on his deathbed, this, you know, image of Our Lady of Mount Carmel is going to help him come closer to Jesus. He probably is wearing it like an amulet or some kind of special protection. Or he just may wear it because that's what people in his village do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a little tea tradition. The idea that Mary gave the scapular to St. Simon Stock and promised certain graces and blessings from Jesus to anyone who wears it, that's big T tradition. Not in the scripture, but we believe it to be true. And I think there's a lot of cases of people wearing jewelry, maybe gold crosses, that may not be because they believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus.
Yeah.
They like how it looks, or it was given to them as gift. Maybe they wear rings that have the 10 little bumps on it. Mm-hmm. Those 10 bumps are meant to be Hail Marys that you would pray. But maybe somebody doesn't know that. They just wear it because... So all those things are misunderstandings.
Yeah, it's trendy or cute. Like.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that, necessarily. But to your point, it is a misunderstanding of the purpose of it. The rosary, the scapular, holy water. How many cars do you see that have rosaries hanging from the rearview mirror? Is that a bad thing? No, it's a great thing. Do we suspect that everybody who has one of those is praying the rosary often and is a devoted son or daughter of Mary? I don't know.
Yeah, I think really misunderstanding. And I think I think with anything, though, we should really take the time to maybe, like, you talk a lot about prudence. And
yes.
I think that's
love prudence.
Love prudence. And I think that's a good thing to keep in mind and think about and practice. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, because everything that we do says something about what I believe by our action. So I think if just taking the time and discerning those things, like if you have a question about something, like, ask it. If you're not clear about what something means or what the church teaches, like, look it up or ask Padre, ask anybody. And
just don't ask that app that turns everything into Gen Z talk.
Yeah, just don't do that.
So we're gonna fix that. It's not the Holy Bible app, okay? Don't come for me, whoever created it. It was a website.
Yeah, what's your handle again?
No. It's a website you can go to. But the Holy Bible, not me shouting, I'm not shouting y'all out. But the Holy Bible does, like, have a easy version where it just simplifies.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Bible.
Speak to the language.
Nice.
But the one that I was talking about, is it made the Bible look slang. It talked in slang. So thank you, Fish, for texting me back right away.
Miss Fish.
Oh, nice. We got some expertise from Ohio.
Yeah. Hi,
that's
Aaron.
Awesome.
I texted her during
the University
podcast.
Of Steubenville.
Go Franciscan you.
Go Franciscan. Yeah. Well, I hope that was... I mean, that's really what we wanted to talk about in this conclusion of our spooky season series. Yeah, I hope
The first annual.
Yeah, first annual. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I thought it was cool talking about this.
If you guys thought we were going to get like spooky, nah.
Like ghost stories?
Yeah. Maybe next year.
Do you guys believe in ghosts?
Have you seen that? There's a video of Father Mike Schmidt. I think it's called I Ain't Afraid of No Ghosts.
Nice.
I wouldn't doubt that they're...
I wouldn't say ghosts.
Yeah,
I think that's the problem.
Ghosts, like, oh, what?
Like, Lil Casper, I don't think...
Yeah.
I don't think that's...
No. But if they're... Not ghosts, necessarily, but if there's souls wandering. Like, I think of purgatory. Like,
purgatory,
they're just kind of, like, here. Like, hey, pray for me. Maybe, you know?
Yes, that's how Father explained it.
Yeah.
In, like, his, like... Yeah, we...
But there might not be... Good.
Yeah, I wouldn't call them ghosts. Like, yeah. I think there's like either demons present.
Yes, exactly. It's either a demon or just a soul really out here like
asking you to pray for them in purgatory. Like,
please.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say ghost.
Yeah, I mean people like, I don't know, randomly knocking dishes off the shelf. Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. Before we go, we wanted to make one small announcement. Well, maybe it's small, I think it's small.
However you take it.
Yeah,
it's pretty small, though.
Yeah, there's been a lot of great things happening at the parish.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of ministry is up and running.
It's booming. As Padre would say.
Yeah. Booming.
It's booming.
It is.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so with that being said, there's just a lot going on in all of our offices and we want to make sure we're attentive to the people of God.
Yes.
As well, in person and in ministry. So we will be transitioning, just for now, just temporarily, as we're in the thick of ministry at the moment. Yeah. We have retreat coming up for our high schoolers.
Pray for them, y'all.
Pray for them.
Actually, this will be up.
Yeah, we'll be up. Yeah. They're going to be gone.
Yeah, that Friday. Yeah. Yeah, pray for us. We'll be in retreat for our high schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
Who will be receiving confirmation.
October 20th to 20th.
22nd.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. 22nd, of course, is the feast day of St. John Paul II.
Yes.
John Paul the Great. This year is a Sunday, so we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus.
Nice.
But it's also the same day as John Paul II.
Beautiful. But in light of that, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So we will be switching just for a little bit, recording the podcast and releasing them every 2 weeks. Instead of on a weekly basis, we're going to move to a bi-weekly basis.
It gives you a chance to miss us too, you know?
You know, absence makes a heart grow fonder.
I agree. I got to tell you, it still just makes my heart happy when I hear people are like, oh, that's Esmeralda. That's Esmeralda.
Okay, that's trippy.
That's Delilah.
That's trippy.
Is that really Delilah?
Or they'll say like, oh, that's the voice that I hear. I can put the face to it.
It's really awesome because the other day, a couple was asking about baptism. And so many of you know that Esmeralda, part of her responsibilities here in our faith formation office is to help answer questions when people call us or email us about baptism. And so I had said, you know, I had kind of given an initial answer to the questions that this particular couple had, but at that moment, Esmeralda starts walking across the parish courtyard to, I think it was...
I was going
to
go into the library.
OCIA that night. And I said, well, you know, you can talk to Esmeralda. And they were both like, what? That's Esmeralda? Which, again, makes my heart happy. People seem to be responding well to the ministry that we're trying to do here on the podcast. And, you know, it's awesome for me as a pastor to see that. You guys have done an amazing job.
Thank you, Father.
And even with only doing it every couple weeks, I know we're going to still have a lot of energy.
There's a lot to talk about, for sure.
Gosh, there is a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
There is. So this isn't even a goodbye.
Yeah, we'll see you in a couple weeks. Yeah, exactly. So
it's an hasta luego, as they say.
Yes, we'll see you soon. But yeah, thank you, Padre.
You're welcome.
For all that you do.
Me.
We appreciate you being our pastor. Delilah, thanks for all the hard work you put into the podcast.
And I should say that while we're talking about, you know, Bujaria and the Ojo, and I'm drinking out of an Arizona State Sun Devil's mug.
Okay.
Forks up. It's Sparky. He's a sun devil.
Yes.
He's a good devil.
He's a good...
It's Sparky.
That's why we lost against Colorado, but
what?
It's okay. It's okay.
No, that's Coach Prime. He's an amazing coach.
He is an amazing coach, I heard. But one last thing before I just need to say this before Okay, I know all our Arizona teams suck right now.
What?
But our D-backs are going
to believe that.
Through. Okay, we won against the Dodgers. Yep. I said what I said. Good. I don't want to hear it from the Dodger fans. We moved on. Y'all did it. Anyways.
Yes.
They did it?
No, they're done.
Dang.
So I know I'm a Cardinals fan, and they suck. And I don't know about the Suns. I'm not really huge on basketball. But
the Suns were really good this year.
I don't know. Are they in season?
No.
Okay, we'll see. Makes
sense. They will be coming up pretty soon.
Okay. But yeah, that's all I gotta say.
But the Sun Devils are rebuilding. It's the first year for a new coach. Cardinals same way. Coach Gannon's first year.
Yeah, that's where we're 1-4.
He's from Ohio, so you know it's gonna be good. Okay, we just gotta have faith and patience. Rise up, Red Sea.
Rise up, Red Sea.
I'm gonna say it painfully, rise up, Red Sea.
Well, with that being said, Padre, if you can lead us in a closing prayer.
Absolutely, I'd love to. So let's pray here in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So this is the month of the Rosary, the most holy Rosary of Mary, and let's ask our Blessed Mother to pray for us to Jesus, her Son, as together we pray wherever we are. Hail Mary, full of grace.
The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son,
and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. May you all be blessed. Have a great week.
And we'll see you next time on
Dramatic Catholics.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
See you in 2 weeks.
We're like, we don't say thou.
See thou. And by we
take thou good care.
Shall not.
Shall not. Shall not.